Here we read 1 Chronicles 7, verse 5, their brothers reckoned in all by genealogy. Well, this phrase, reckoned by genealogies, you get it in Ezra 2, where the same phrase is used, Judah were reckoned by genealogies. The idea is that when the exiles returned, they were reckoned by genealogies, and I think that these genealogies that we have in 1 Chronicles were written up under inspiration at that time. And I think the reason for this is that it was God's intention, and the potential was, that the prophecies of the restoration of his kingdom, which was primarily his people, could have come true at that time. So you take Isaiah 40, verse 26. In the same way as God brings out the stars, each by their individual name, so God was going to bring out Judah from Babylon, as God knows the name of every star, so he knows the name of every one of the stars that make up the seed of Abraham, whom he was going to restore at that time. Again, Psalm 87, verse 6, talking again about the restoration of Zion at the time of the return from exile. Yahweh will count when he writes up the people that this man was born there. So the reason for all this was because God wanted to restore the people. And that's why when you look at the detail of the different tribes, there's far more information about the tribe of Judah. Dan gets no mention, Naphtali only gets one verse. And I think that reflects how the purpose of these genealogies concerned the exiles of Judah returning from Babylon. Now, the intention was that the 10 tribes also returned, but unfortunately that didn't happen. And yet, there is therefore some information given about some of the 10 tribes. You read here in chapter 7 about the sons of Issachar, for example. And yet the majority of them assimilated into Assyria, just as the majority, sadly, of the people of Judah and Benjamin preferred the soft life in Persia, and they didn't return. And yet, they could have done. God knew each of them by name, and he wanted them to come back. And so it is, with the call of the gospel as it goes out into this world, that God knows his people. He knows them all by name, and yet so many don't respond to that call. What happened at the restoration, or rather what didn't happen, is one of the greatest tragedies of human history, apart from the crucifixion. That really God had potentially enabled the restoration of his kingdom under some kind of messianic ruler, and he raised up Cyrus to say, look, yep, Jews, go back, rebuild your temple, don't worry about the resources, I'll give you what you need. But they didn't. The vast majority stayed there, and the few that did go back, as you learn from Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the few who did go back were more interested in building their own paneled houses than they were in rebuilding God's house. They thought they could just get a bit of land, have good harvests, have a good time. And that's why God, in fact, sent a famine upon them to say, look, your attitude is all wrong. You know, you offer to me, as Malachi says, the lame and the blind animals. You won't even shut the doors in the temple unless somebody pays you. You're begrudging of your attitude towards me, etc. And so you see how such a huge potential was wasted. Flee from Babylon. Come out of her, my people. This was the call for them to leave, but most of them remained. And that same call to come out of Babylon, to come out of this world, is of course applied to us in 2 Corinthians and elsewhere in the New Testament, that we are to be the ones who live up to the potential. And God knows you by name. Now, in the Bible, and in Hebrew thought, a name is not simply as we tend to use names to just define people. In fact, you might as well give people a number for all that names really mean. In a lot of cultures, particularly Anglo-Saxon cultures these days. But in Bible times and in the Hebrew culture here, A name reflected a character and personality, and it reflected life experience. That's why you find, as you go through these genealogies, when you look up the meaning of the names, people who were called deceiver, thief, dishonest, weak, sickly. I don't suppose any mother would have named her child like that. They had a birth name, and yet, as their life went on, they acquired a name that was appropriate to their life experience, their sort of personality that they developed. And of course, the name of Yahweh is also spoken of as being acquired. God made him a name, we're told, when he took Israel out of Egypt. His name is likewise progressively developed. It reflects his character, personality. It was this which was declared to Moses when the name of Yahweh was declared. It's very, very facile and simplistic to say, oh yeah, it's YHWH, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever. This is the name of God. Well, you're missing the whole point, I think, by trying to reduce it just to a lexical item. And so when we're told that God knows the names of his people, every single one of them, and these genealogies are a reflection of that, I think what you're being told is that God not only knows you, he knows your entire life path, your life experience, your personality, your character. You are known. And even if you're not the best, and none of us are, he wants to restore you. He wants you in his kingdom.